What do you worry about as you got up today, going through the day, or from day to day? What are the things that tend to just kind of hold you back and cause worry in your life? Hey, come join in the discussion. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. I am live here in our Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona. And I can promise you in the next 28 minutes, by the time we get to the end of this half hour show, somebody's life's going to be radically changed. Because I want you to see that there are some really practical, intentional things you and I can do to deal with worry in our life. If you want to join in and share with me what is it you're worried about today, give me a call at 888-1717, 888-1717. In the United States of America, there is a huge, significant percentage of adults who are experiencing worry and nervousness and anxiety. And all of the statistics indicate that that's increasing. Now, I need to be transparent. This is an issue for me. I worry about things. I worry about my kids. I worry about my grandkids. I worry about, you know, I worry about where our country is, and I worry about lots of different things. Now, it doesn't get out of hand, but like you, it just sort of can occupy your mind. And as you look at the statistics about worry, 32% of adults, this should concern us as parents and grandparents. 32% of adolescents aged 13 to 18 have not only worry, but have been to the point of having an anxiety disorder. 32%. 43% of adults in the U.S. report feeling more anxious than they did last year. 70% of U.S. adults are anxious about keeping themselves or their families safe. 40 million people in the United States have an anxiety disorder, not just worry. We're talking about just worry. What's interesting, according to Psychology Today, 91% of the worries that we have actually don't come true. Okay, I think we know that. This is interesting from the World Health Organization. Anxiety disorders are the world's most common mental disorders, affecting 301 million people. That was way back in 2019, before COVID and all the stuff of today. Now, let's bring it home here. If you just join me, I love you. I want the best for you. I'm in the boat with you. I'm going to share with you some things that I know work, will make a difference. The Bible says a lot about worry. In fact, here's just a verse. Jesus says in Matthew 6, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And yet, and come on, if we're a believer, we're a follower of Christ, you and I still worry. We struggle with this. And that's why in Scripture, there's so many verses that are sort of instructive to us and reminding us that this is something that we're gonna struggle with in our humanity, in life, and there are solutions and things that we can do. And so as Christians, we do worry, and then some of us, we worry about disappointing God because we're worrying. Like we don't measure up, you know. God understands. I'll tell you what, I have a brand new book that was just released with the help of some terrific people on our staff who are put editorial work and effort into it. It's called Breathe Again, Finding Peace. Peace beyond fear, anxiety, and worry. And I told Stephen, if he'll catch your address, if you're interested, I'll send a copy to everybody who will call me, and you want to just talk to me on the air. If you get through to get on the air in the live show today, we'll send you a copy. 888-1717. Now, I want to make a couple comments, and then we're going to take a break, come back, got callers ready to go. I think this is probably the main point I want to make, and then we'll take a break. Worry is something that tends to increase when we look to the future, and regret when we look to the past. The further we get away from this moment in time, on this date in history, worry increases. Because we have, what did Jesus just say? "Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for you got enough problems tomorrow you're going to face." And the second thing, and this is really important, then we're going to take a break and come back and get your calls. In fact, I was thinking about this driving in the studio, and I wrote it down at a stoplight. Not supposed to do that, but I wrote it down before I forgot it. I have learned about myself, because I worry about my kids and my grandkids, and I think about these things. I'm a high control person. Let's just say it. I'm a high control. I like to control things. My wife listening, she's smiling. When I worry about things I can't control, it keeps me from acting on the things that I can. It can become a scapegoat from dealing with the things that are right in front of us. When I worry about the things I can't control, which are usually about 3 feet and beyond, I can't control all my grandkids or my kids, or I can't control the government, or I can't control what's going to happen in the stock market, or what's going to happen in the world scene today. We could all be surprised with something in the news by tonight. So when I start to worry about the things I can't control, it keeps me emotionally and otherwise from acting on the things I can control. When I worry about the financial situation in America, that can keep you from dealing with your financial problem today. Too much credit card debt or whatever it may be. And one of the things that the scripture, I'm going to show you what the Bible says in really practical terms on how do we confront this thing of worry in our life as a Christian. Because worry will increase the further we get from this moment, and regret further we move into the past. All right, quick break. Lines are jammed. I'll be right back. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
There is a point when we are challenged at a defining moment to make a decision. Indecision will kill you. Indecision will just slowly drain the energy out of your life. No matter what the decision. I mean, as simple as trying to buy a new car. You ever been through the process of trying to buy a car? I mean, the indecision, is it this one or is it that one? And you go on and going back and forth and you run the numbers and you don't make a decision, and it goes on day after day and week after week for some, right? It's gotta be the perfect car. Have you ever noticed how frustrating that is? Trying to make a decision is buying a car. I get frustrated deciding which restaurant to go to, you know, with Donna, because she wants to go to this one and I want to go to that one. And you know how it is when we have a period of indecision in our life. And Nehemiah teaches us, I think, when we get defining moments, not only do we stop and not only do we immerse ourselves in what is God talking to me about in this situation through prayer and fasting and really hearing God's heart, but ultimately we have to come and make a decision. You know, that's an excerpt from the lesson for the month, and we're right at that point where it'll be moved in back into archives. If you haven't listened to it, I hope you get up online and do so. How you deal with defining moments in your life. We put these lessons together to encourage you from our Intentional Living Center at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Let's go to the calls. Sierra in Michigan, how are you?
Hi,
appreciate your call.
Good, how are you doing?
Good, terrific. What is it you're worrying about, Sierra?
I had an urge to call you today because I've had this heavy on my mind. I am a mom of two. I have two boys right now, an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I am currently pregnant with twin girls. Mm. And we are very excited about it. Me and my husband have been trying to grow our family for over a year, and we had a couple losses, and long story short, this is a huge blessing for us. But as now I'm getting further into the pregnancy, I'm about 24 weeks now, I have worried so much lately about being a good mom to all four of my kids, you know, and it's gotten so bad to where, like, I've been having, like, dreams of my youngest getting really sick and I don't take care of him, or my oldest and me going out and doing something together one day and I just, like, leave him and go home, like, crazy dreams. And I'm sure a lot of other mothers have dealt with this, but I just want to know how to handle it, faith-wise. So I am fully prepared when they get here, if that's possible.
Well, listen, Sierra, my bet is, and I don't bet often, that you are a good mom and you will be a good mom because you are worried. But at the same time, you know, that can become obsessive in your head. That's what I'm hearing. You know, taking captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. Satan loves to camp in our heads and start to get us to say things and think things that are not true, frankly. And if we think long enough, then we start to think it is true when it's not. Let me give you a verse. Write this down. I want you to, because this is, by the way, this is for everybody who worries. It's Philippians chapter 4. And this is, let me give you the context. This is the Apostle Paul, and he had reason to worry. I mean, he's in prison. He's at the end of the rope. I mean, he's been down the trail. He had a lot of things that are not just worry wart stuff, reality stuff he's facing. And Paul's saying in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, he says, hey, listen, don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. How can a guy say this when he's in a place like he is? Because he's gotten to a place where he realizes, hey, it just ain't worth it. I mean, that's not what God has for us. But he doesn't leave you there with that, hey, don't worry about anything, guys. You ever tell your kids that? Oh, don't worry about it, or it'll be okay. And you're not quite sure if it is going to be or not. And they certainly aren't. That's not enough. And so what Paul says here to us, and I think it's important for you, Sierra, and others, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in this pregnancy, in your parenting, in your daily life, by prayer, Lord, give me the wisdom to be the mom today I need to be. Give me the power to be the mom I need to be. I'm not going to be perfect. He says, by prayer and petition, okay. In other words, Lord, wow. It really is talking about kind of like a child going to a parent and saying, I really need your help. I really need your help, not only by prayer, but by petition with thanksgiving. Lord, I know you will help me be the mom that I need to be. I know you'll be with me, and I'm giving you thanksgiving in advance. I'm going to give you gratitude in advance. Present your request to God, it says, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, let me read that through exactly how it's written, just how Paul wrote it for us. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How does that land with you today, Sierra?
Thank you so much for sharing that verse with me, because I feel like I'm going to reread that quite a bit. It stands with me perfectly, and it's exactly what I needed to hear, so I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and I want you to keep listening, because in a few minutes I'm going to give you another verse that I think is even more really action-oriented and more intentional, even, that we'll get to in just a few minutes. So thank you, Sierra. Appreciate your call. Don't worry. Jeanette in Arizona, how are you today? What's going on?
I need prayer really bad. I'm 65 years old, me and my husband, and we've been renting our whole entire lives. And we finally got approved to buy a home, and we're supposed to close Friday morning.
Yeah.
They can't find our VAD 214. No one could find it now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a concern. Now, are you confident in the people who are working on this for you, that they're the top of the line and can get it done if it can get done?
Yes.
All right. So let me ask you this, Jeanette, because this is sometimes one of the things we have to think about with worry. What's the worst thing that could happen here? I mean, reality. What would happen if by Friday they don't have that paperwork found yet and they have to do some other things to get it resolved? What is that going to mean, do you think?
The worst is that the loan expires on the 8th of May.
The loan offer.
It expires.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Completely shut down.
All right. Then what would happen?
we would have to wait a year, and we have to hopefully rent or where we're at or at six. Yeah, it's a big mess.
All right.
And I don't know if my husband's going to be at the same place. Everything. This is a one-time lifetime opportunity at the age of 65.
All right.
First time.
So what you're really saying is, hey, I'm worried about it. I'm asking for prayer that God will intervene because you don't have any control over it if you've got the right people working on it for you, right?
Correct.
And so what you're saying is, Lord, we need an intervention. This paper, wherever it's floating around in the ether world, it's got to be found so we can close on this thing. All right.
Well,
let me pray with you, and I'll ask others to do the same, because here's an example. When we talk about worry, there's things I can control. I can't find a piece of paper that's out in the Ethernet where I got to have professional people go and do that for me. But you want to make sure that you got the right people doing that, right? And so when we talk about praying, we pray, and then if there are things that we can do and need to do, we need to act. Lord, I pray for Jeanette and her need and her husband and 65. This is a big, important move in their life, and understandably, she's concerned. She's worried. And you're the finder of papers as well as the healer of hearts. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd move in this situation and her family and her life, and in particular in the lives of those who are trying to get this resolved, that they would find success and find it so they could get this deal done. A lot of problems in the world, and this is one, and this is one of your children. We ask that in your name today.
Yes.
Let us know, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Jeanette. And the reason I ask those questions is sometimes when we worry about things, my dad always used to say that. You'd worry about stuff. He said, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? And you got to answer that. And it may not be pleasant. It may not be what you want, but can God be in that unpleasant place with you too? You know, I think he really can. All right, Stephanie in New Mexico, appreciate your call today. Hi there. Go right ahead.
Hi.
What is it you're thinking or worrying about?
So me and my whole family have been worrying a lot recently and could use a lot of prayer. So we have a two-year-old niece who has extreme medical problems. So ever since she's been like six months old, she started having a bunch of seizures. And my sister has been doing everything she can to try to figure out what the, you know, cause is. And it seems to have just getting worse, and she's had like up to 80 seizures a day, and she's 2 years old now, and is she's developmentally delayed a lot, significantly, just like from having so many seizures, and so I could, you know, it's hard, it's just been really difficult, and medical bills stacking up, and I wish I could personally do more for them, and so
you care. Sorry. You don't need to be sorry. You care. You know, sometimes let's just be really practical. Sometimes it's easier not to care, but that's not you.
Yeah.
You're wired in such a way you care, and that's a beautiful thing. And can I give you a verse?
Thank you. I would love that.
All right. In fact, I'll give you two. Psalm 55:22. Powerful verse. The psalmist says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And that word cast, by the way, isn't so much like a fisherman or fisher girl casting. Literally, it means like you have a heavy rock and you just drop it. Just cast it, drop it. And you pray, and then you have to say, Lord, this is beyond my 3-foot rule here. I don't have control over the health. I don't have control over the money. But you do, and I pray, and then I'll do what I can to support my family and get involved as I can, but I'm not going to allow Satan to allow the burden of that worry to control me. There's a second verse that maybe would be encouragement to you as well. It's Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, whatever you face. And what a reminder, powerful reminder that is. How did those land with you, those verses?
That's really good. That helps me feel more calm, and I should reflect on those throughout the day.
All right. Psalm 55, 22, and Joshua 1:9. Okay. And I'm inviting our listeners, thousands all over the country and around the world through our podcast, to be praying for your little niece. What?
Her name's Winslow.
Winslow. Okay. Two year old niece with some really serious medical conditions. Pray for her. Mm. Are you feeling kind of hopeless sometimes with your worry, overwhelmed? Got some help for some folks. I'll tell you about it in just a moment.
At some point, we all face a defining moment, a moment that demands a choice: turn away or take action.
The decision that you make when you're faced with that defining moment will impact your future. It's a part of living. These moments and how we respond to these moments in our life help to define how our life is operating.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, Your Defining Moment, he'll unpack how Nehemiah intentionally responded to a defining moment in his life and how you can respond to yours. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Just announced, Family Life Radio's Night of Hope with Dr. Randy Carlson and inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Dr. Randy will share practical steps and timeless wisdom to help you face life's challenges with confidence. Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale.
When I needed rescue.
Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at theintentionallife.com.
All right, you just heard it. Thank you, John. That's coming up, Night of Hope, June 6th, Friday night, Haven Church, Glendale, Arizona, Phoenix area. And Jordan St. Cyr is going to be there, and he's going to really bless us with his music. Cankel Fritz from The Morning Show on Family Life Radio, he and his wife are going to be there, and I think share some of their own story and journey and hope that they've been through. Wow, what a story. And then they give me a chance to talk, and I'm going to get really specific on some things that you can do to experience more hope in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family. There's some specific things you can do that'll turn a feeling of hope to an experience of hope. And so we have limited seating. It's going to be, as I mentioned, in Glendale, Arizona, June 6th. Tickets available right now at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. What do you worry about? Beverly, appreciate your call. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, Dr. Randy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What is it you're worrying about today?
Well, it's my young adult children. I have two young adult daughters, one 18, the other just turned 23. The 23-year-old just turned 23 in jail. She's incarcerated, being charged with some serious crimes. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, my younger daughter just got into the police department.
So your younger daughter is going to become a police officer and your 23-year-old is in jail.
Yes.
How are you doing?
And I'm trying to stay in God's perfect peace.
Yeah.
There's been some bumps in the road where I've experienced and continue to experience some health issues. Mm-hmm. Because of I try not to worry because I'm pretty strong in my faith, but I have many concerns.
Sure. And it affects your health and your thinking. And
yeah. And at the same time, my youngest daughter just moved out of the house. So I'm an empty nester now.
So you're thinking about what's next for my life too, right? You're thinking about what happens with me now.
Yeah, so many questions. Mm-hmm. This thing we call life,
mm-hmm.
it's very interesting.
Yes, it is.
I just thank the Lord that I'm a believer, and I know that I'm in the fire. And it's not just me. This is affecting my youngest daughter because the situation also involved their father
mm-hmm.
and my oldest daughter's fiance.
Mm-hmm. So you got the whole family situation going on. And you know what? You all who are calling here today, I hear your hearts, and many of them are broken, stressed, struggling, because you care. And as I said, sort of facetiously, but the people who don't care don't seem to worry about stuff because they're only thinking about themselves. People who care about other people, and I think those of us who are children of God who love the Lord sometimes are more prone to this because we care. We care about the well-being of people. We care about our family. We care about people coming to Christ. Let me give you a verse. I promised a verse, and this is for you and for everyone who's struggling. This is Paul talking to a young pastor. His name is Timothy. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy wrote these down because he recalled what Paul said to him. Because Paul said to this young pastor, look, at God has not given you that spirit of fear, Timothy, whatever it is, that worry about people, what people think in that case, perhaps, or the fear of being a pastor in that time. Wow, you could lose your head. Even now, today, around the world. Or fear for having my daughter in jail, or fear for our finances, or fear for my marriage. But Paul says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That's the Holy Spirit. And love, that's an action, by the way, not just an emotion. That's an action. You can read about it in Scripture, especially in Corinthians 13. And a sound mind, we tell ourselves the truth. I can't control my daughter who's in prison. I'm going to pray that God will use her time in prison to radically change her life. And whatever else is going on with the rest of the family, I can't control. But I ask God to do His work in their lives. I tell you what, we're going to stay in the studio. If you want to join in, we'll record these for airing next Monday and talk to as many of you who'd like to just say, hey, this is what I'm worrying about. I'd love to pray with you and encourage you. 888-888-1717. Check out the Night of Hope coming to Glendale, June 6th at theintentionallife.com.